This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ويجي ويتوقف، لكن شوف الريلا يعمل ريلا من الدقائق، يعني ما زال شغال اكتمال صورة توقف في مكان كما تمشي،
لكن مع الواي فاي لا يحصل.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، اليوم 20 من شهر شوال 1443 الموافق ل 21 من شهر مايو 2022، نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك بلوغ المرام. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا فيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين بإذن الله عز وجل. Today this will be Ibn Abi Safwan. Safwan ibn Umayya. As we talk about the hadith of Al-Jarid. So today, inshallah, we'll be dealing with the hadith of Safwan ibn Umayya. Safwan ibn Umayya, Kitab al-Hudud, Hadd al-Sariqa. Babu Hadd al-Sariqa. Tadab ila al-Fihris. Hadd al-Sariqa. Shubna Hadd al-Sariqa. I know. Al-Content. Shubna Al-Content.
Where the index?
أيوه، في كتاب حديث السرعة يكون حديث رقم 12 حديث المطور. So this is the hadith of Safwan ibn Umayya. Safwan ibn Umayya is one of the important people in Makkah. So he said النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لما أمر بقطع التي أو الذي سرق رداءه فشفع فيه، قال هل كان ذلك قبل أن تأتيني به. Safwan was sleeping in a masjid. هو يقول بنفسه، يعني يقول بينما صفوان أطاع بن أبي رباح said بينما صفوان بن أمية مضطجع بالفتحاء إذ جاء إنسان فأخذ بردة من تحت رأسه فأتى به النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأمر بقطعه، فقال إني أعفو وأتجاوز، فقال فهلا قبل أن تأتي. So he was sleeping in a place, البطحاء, and then a thief came and stole his garment. أخذ بردة له فتبعه، كان قد وضعها تحته. So he stole a piece of garment that Safwan has and he was sleeping on. So he tried to drag it and then Safwan managed to go and chase him and get it back from him. فَأَتَى بِهِ النَّبِيَ صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he got him and he brought him to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. فَأَمَرَ بِقَطْعِ. When the case reached Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he commanded somebody to cut him, to cut off the hand. فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَعْفُ وَأَتَجَاوَزُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. So he said, Ya Rasulullah, I will forgive. When he sees the punishment, which is so harsh, because he's going to lose his hand, he said, Ya Rasulullah, we said, Bihada, you know, because of my garment, he will lose his hand. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I ask you, what is it? He said, I forgive. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, Fahalla qabla an ta'tini. He said, why didn't you forgive him before you bring him to me? Why didn't you forgive before you come to me? That's why if you look at the rights, in general, you divide rights into how many categories? Yeah.
No.
Three. But mention the two. You will say right of Allah and the right of Khalq. They have three types of rights. Right of Allah and the right of creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the combined right. Right of Allah, right of creation. Both. Make sure. Like in Qisas, that the right of the one who is killed or is cut, and you have at the same time the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like in Zina case, somebody was hurt. You have the right of Allah and you have the right of. Like in Qadr, you know, you have that. Like in Sadaqah, you have the right of Allah and you have the right of. So you have the right of Allah. This one, yinkul fi hattasam. When there is a contradiction between the right of Allah and the right of human beings, we go with which right? If you go with the right of Allah, the right of the creation will be neglected. If you go with the right of the creation, the right of Allah will be neglected. So obviously we go with the right of, who cares about the right of creation, right? But fiqh doesn't go like this. It goes with the right of human. Out of respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respect for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah forgives. He doesn't need this. Human beings, do they forgive? They take the right. That's why they said, the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yadkhulu fiha at-tasamuh. They are at-tasamuh. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, if you ask me to forgive, I will forgive. Do you get an idea? No. It's not that we're disrespecting Allah, we favor somebody else's right. No, it's not like that. They said because what we ma'ahidna, what we are used to, what we know from the system, when it comes to the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he forgives. That's why if you see billah, somebody committing zina in some place, what would you do? You tell others or you keep it secret? If somebody stole from another person's item, you keep it secret.
You tell the person,
you have to tell. You have to tell. You cannot keep quiet. If you don't go to the authority, you tell the person who has the right. But right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the mustahab fiha as-satr. It's mustahab for you to conceal that address and do what? And advise that person. You don't go and tell others, you know, contrary to the right of human beings, at least you have to tell that person who that was offended by another person. So the right of Allah Mubin al-Tisam, wal ghufran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive. He says, if you commit sin, you can come back to me, I will forgive this. But what we know from the human beings is none other than greed and stinginess. Wants his right to be fulfilled. So unless if we hear from him, if not, then we ask him to do that. That person will tell him, go and do istighfar between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the right of human being, he has to pay. That's why he owes a lot of rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And let's say at the age of 70, he converted to Islam. At the age of 70. According to the best opinion, did he miss any prayer?
Yes,
he missed it. I mean, he lost it. 70 years? Well, just removed 15 years when he was at a younger age. From that age up to 70, he has been missing the prayers. Allah says to the kuffar, ما سلككم بسقر قالوا لن نكو من المصلين. That's when they are required to pray. These are kuffar in hell. Allah says, why are you here? They said, because we do not pray. The reason why, in the conditions of the prayer, if you study the fiqh, you will not see Islam being mentioned there. Because it is already there. For the Muslims, when I say the conditions for the prayer, for Abdul Rahman to pray, what are they? Tahara, istighfar al-fillah, ad-dukhul al-waqt, But we will not say Islam, because it is already there. But for the kuffar, the conditions start with Islam first. Yeah, Islam, then all of them. If he doesn't have Islam, all of the other conditions will be useless. But it is a requirement he has to do. If he doesn't do, he will get into trouble. So combination of all of these caused them the punishment. Is that clear? So if a person, he is supposed to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those things, when he accepted Islam, is he going to do? We tell him you have to pray for 70 years. Every 10 years is 17,000 prayers. We tell us, we don't tell him to pray. He was trying to help God. But he borrowed money from others. He took money from others. Is it obligatory upon him to pay? Yes. Islam doesn't pay. So here at Mashallah, he accepted Islam right after he cheated. And he was kafir, he was a kafir. He didn't care. He cheated. He went to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and accepted Islam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Amma al-Islam, fanaqbaluhu. Amma ghadaratuk, falasna min haki shaykh. So he said, Islam we take. But for your deception, we are the one. Meaning, you have to settle. You have to take back the right to that. So the right of Allah, the right of human being, the right of Allah is the pure right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one could be broken. When there is a contradiction between both rights, we favor the right of human beings. Right? How about the combined rights? Yeah, combined rights, they have the right of human beings with the right of Allah, but they coincide. Right? They meet together at one. Like the qisas, like the qadr, false accusation against somebody. Right? Qisas is the right of Allah and right of human being. Which right is stronger than you? Right of the human being is stronger. That's why even at the last minute before the sayyaf, before the sayyaf execute that person, if the owner of the right says, I forbid, what does that mean? The sayyaf has to say, Alhamdulillah, thank you, goodbye. And say to him, he cannot take action against him because the owner of the right forbids. The right of Allah is kafara, and isaf itself also Allah SWT has shared in it. But since that one forbid, Allah SWT forbid. And this issue of isaf is very strange, I know you forgot all of these things that we have studied. I don't want to advise others, but anyway. The qisas is very strange. If let's say all of us here, a family, and by Allah, we are related to animals. So we're a family, and somebody unfortunately killed somebody from our family. You get it? That guy approached me. I said no. Family has a great value. You touch him, you're going to pay the price. You go to Abdul Rahman. He already knows that Abdul Rahman will never put him. Sorry. He goes to another Abdul Rahman, also goes against his name. goes to the Ali, Ali said, you can talk to somebody else, not us. Goes to Amir, Amir said, no, my poor brother said, no, I'm also with them. And Mahdi said, I look like somebody who can forgive you. Uzair said, no problem. This guy repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I forgive my right. I mean, let's say we are 100 to 1,000. Only Uzair said he forgives. You know, what is the percentage of his forgiveness? We're supposed to ignore his statement, right? We go with that, the majority. But Islam says no. Yeah, if Uzair forgives, the case cannot be executed at all. You know why? Because when that person killed that person, it's like now the body of this person, the murderer, is divided and distributed among. We can take our right, no problem, but we have to keep the right of Uzair alive. So that part of the body that belongs to Uzair, it must remain alive. If we take our right, how do we keep it? How do we keep this? There is no way for us to keep this. So what do we do? Now, yesterday, Al-Ahu ila Baqith. You know, like in the Arabs, Uzair is going to be hated for us. You know? Because the family will tell him, that's when this man, one of us, our brother, doesn't have that. So that's the reason why many people, they want to forgive, but they know that the tribe will not tolerate this. They just close their eyes and cry and just let it happen. But forgiveness is good. Allah SWT recommended. So in Qisas, the right of human beings, is taking precedence more than the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is forgiveness, even after the case reached the leader, we must stop the punishment, except in one case. When there is a public interest in that case, then the government can take over and tell Uzair, we are so happy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you those for this forgiveness, but the government have interest in this case, that the community have interest in this case. This guy has been causing the community a lot of trouble. It must be a lesson for anyone who is to come in the future. We accept your forgiveness, we appreciate what you're doing, but he has to go. The comment can do that. Okay? That's mean there is no case between the family and this man. This one is settled. We close it. But now the government, which is representing the community, still have a case. You know, if they say, no, we are not going to execute him based on qisas, but we will execute him based on the ta'zir to protect the interests of the community. They have a right to do that? Yes, they do. That's qisas. You get it? So the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the right of human beings will take precedence over the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have other rights like qadr, false accusation. Which right? This one also, right of human beings, are superseded, but this one is conditional. The best example to counter, I mean, to contradict that one is the case of zina. Who has a right here? Which right is more? Right of human beings or right of Allah? In zina case, let's say, leave the normal one when there is agreement between both of them. Let's say he forced that person and did what Allah SWT doesn't like. Who has a right here? I mean, which right is greater? You. Right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and right of you only? Because that one got hurt, you know, and it was a psychological problem, and all of these things that, you know, what is going on there. So, all of these things, if you look at it, you see the right of whose right has most right of human beings, right? That's absolutely wrong. The right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater. That's why if the sister, for instance, she said, I forgive you. And she said from the bottom of my heart, I forgive you. I don't want this guy to be punished. As long as the case is known, this forgiveness is useless. Between her and him is okay. Yeah, she forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not open a case in the day of judgment between them because she forgives. But that forgiveness will never have any impact on the ruling. He must get the proper punishment that fits. He must. A punishment has to be executed. If he's a Rukhsan, he married already, that's when he has to be stoned till death. Yeah, she settled her case with him, that's when the day of judgment, she will never ask for it, but the man has to go. Right of Allah SWT is so powerful. Yes, if he did not marry yet, it's up to the government. Why do I say up to the government? We already know that the hudud cannot be changed, right? Shouldn't be up to them, right? Because they have to apply it in the way it is. But this time around is the rape case. We have something attached to it. Okay, the normal circumstances when the person go and do it in the normal circumstance, yeah, we go with the normal. But when it is attached to that evil attitude also, then the government do have a right to think in different way. Although he's not supposed to be killed, but the government can cut him off to make him a lesson for others who might come. The hukum for people like him, since he never married, is to be lashed 100 times and sent to the exile. Government will do that, yeah, to preserve the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what comes is the other decision. If they say, we're going to apply it as zero also on him, they do have a right to do that because he attached to that another kind of crime, which is almost similar to armed robbery, right? Yeah. Those ones, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنْ يُقَتَّلُوا أَوْ يُسَلَّمُوا أَوْ تُقَطَّعَ أَيْدِهِمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ أَوْ يُنْفَوْا مِنْ الْأَرْضِ. Because this one is سَرِقَةُ الْمَالِ and the other one is سَرِقَةُ الْعِلْمِ. And he uses power to get what he wants to get, then the authority does have a right also to apply the punishment which is appropriate. So these are the combined rights. Among these combined rights, there are rights when they reach the authority, they cannot be forgiven. They can't be forgiven. That hukum must be executed. Like what? Like qadh. Like sarifa here. Somebody stole something from you, may Allah protect, and then you got the man. They asked you to forgive him. You said no problem. And then he asked you to forgive him. He said no, I don't want. You have to go to the court. Once he's reached the court, and the case is established against him, your forgiveness will never work. You can forgive your property. You can tell them, I don't want it to be brought back to me, but the punishment must be executed. Okay, so these are the way you look at this right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why here, when Safwan ibn Umayyah said, Ya Rasulullah, he's going to lose his hand because of my garment. Ya Rasulullah, I forgive. The Prophet said, Halla qabla an ta'tiyani. Why didn't you do that before you come to me? You know, that's why getting angry is not good. Taking action when you're angry is very dangerous. Very dangerous. Yeah. Somebody hurts you so much, don't take action on that. Well, believe me, you're going to go beyond the limit. Cool down first. When you cool down, you see him properly, most likely you will. But if you take action, you know, before you digest the issue, you're going to regret. Allah says, وَلَوْلَا رِجَالُ مُؤْمِنُونَ وَهُوَ الَّذِي كَفَّ أَيْدِيَهُمْ عَنْكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ بِبَطْنِ مَكَّةَ مِنْ بَعْدِ عَنْهُمْ أَفَرَكُمْ عَلَيْهِ. Muslim got any opportunity to fight the Meccans and defeat them. They have the power and ability to destroy the place. But Allah SWT does not want that to happen. Why? Many reasons. This place is so sacred. You know, nobody has ever given permission to fight Mecca except the Sultan. And he said also, Allah gave me some part of the day. He told me from this time until this time, you must finish what you're doing. SubhanAllah. That's how strong is the place. He said, from this moment to this moment, you have to finish whatever. And the second reason why Allah SWT did not let him go on fight is this. وَلَوْلَا رِجَالُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَنِسَاءُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتُ لَمْ تَعْلَمُوهُمْ أَنْ تَطَأُوهُمْ فَتُسِيبَكُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَعَرَّةٌ بِغَيْرِهِ. They're going to go as fighters, right? When you go to the battlefield, you will do segregation. In Islam, yes, you have to. Yeah. That's why we don't go with our daughters, we don't go with our wives, we don't go with our sisters. You know, we don't go with the female in that because it's very dangerous. These are one of the most valuable entities with us, so they stay home. Whatever problem is going to happen should happen to the brothers. Except the old sisters who used to follow to help the health care. Yeah, some old sisters used to go and help those people who are sick. But subhanAllah, look at the Islamic principle. Even at that moment where the Jundi, you know, is very angry, you know, he's not going to accept his enemy, right? Even at that moment, Islam says, any woman you find there, even if she belongs to the ground, As long as she's in that place, you're not allowed to kill. No killing children, no killing sisters. And so that's jihad. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, since he knows what kind of mentality the army are going to the place, to that place with, he says, if not because of the fact that there are some Muslims who have no capacity to migrate, and you guys don't know them. If you fight Makkah, you're going to affect those ones also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ تَعْلَمُوهُمْ أَنْ تَطَعُوهُمْ فَتُسِيبَكُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَعْبَرْتُمْ بِغَيْرَ لَوْ تَزَيِّنُوا بِإِنْخِرَ اللَّهُ فِي رَحْمَتِهِ. But then Allah says, لَوْ تَزَيِّنُوا بَعَذَّبْنَا الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْهُمْ عَذَبْنَا. So taking decision when you are angry is very dangerous. You cool down first. When you relax, believe me, you are going to see things the way they are. And most likely that first decision you are going to be taking, you might not be able to take. So in the case of theft, when somebody did something, don't take action. Think first wisely. You're going to forgive him right on the spot, you know, and advise him. Because in this moment, when he got caught by you and he knows he's going to lose his hand, he didn't need a person to reflect. Advise him first. If you forgive, then don't take the case to the authority. Once it's reached the authority, then there will be no forgiveness. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Halla qabla an ta'tiyani." Why didn't you do it before you reach? Al-Amir al-San'ani said, there are some narration which says this event took place in the Masjid al-Haram. Some of them said this is in the Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It doesn't matter whether here or there. The point is somebody stole his item and he got that person and he reported him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not accept the forgiveness because the case reached the authority. They said once the case reached the authority, then the public interest is more powerful than any other interest. Individual interest will never come here. When it's reached the authority, then the public interest is more. It's greater. It's much stronger than any other interest. Al-Amir Sanani says in this hadith, we learned that an evidence that shows us that تُقْفَأُ يَدُ السَّارِقِ فِي مَا كَانَ مَالِكُهُ حَافِظًا لَهُ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مُغْلَقًا عَلَيْهِ فِي مَكَانٍ. We learned that. If you put it in the place where you're protecting your property and somebody took it from that place, you know, you, this is the place you protected in that place, and somebody take it in that place, the hand of that person should go. You sleep in a place, this is more applicable in Hajj. You go for Hajj, you know, usually people put the what do you call that thing there? Put the hizam, the belt with the bag, with the small bag. Anyway, the belt, but it has played a pocket that you put money in. Yeah, the business, usually those people who are always active in receiving money, they have this bag in front of them. To avoid a pouch, right? Now, so usually what do? You try to put it under you and you sleep on it. And sometimes you put your hand also on it and you're sickable. But in many cases, you will just the hand is on it, but you will be, it's like you are telling me, come and take it. Free of charge. Anyway, so if you do that and somebody took it from that place, can we cut off his hand? Lamir Sanani said, according to this, yes. But the man put his garment under him, near the head, you know, and making it as a pillow, and somebody came and took it from him. And the Prophet also said, the hand of that person should be cut off. Imam Shafi said, the rida, the garment, you know, that it was something that he put and he slept on it. كان محرزا بالتجاهي عليه. So you know one of the conditions of theft, it must be taken from the place of protection, right? His, right? So Imam Shafi said, having the fact that he was sleeping on it, this is the hiz for that. The opinion of the Shafi'iyya and the Hanafiya and the Malikiya. So whenever a person, you know, sleeps on something, and somebody came and took it from him, you know, that person has to bear the consequence. There are some scholars who are saying that no, we don't have this condition. If somebody steals something, even if it is not in the place of protection, the hand of this person should be cut off. Okay. We already discussed this issue of the hands, whether it is conditioned or not, in the past. Although you forgot for sure, but anyway, let's move, inshallah. Okay. Some of the issue of theft and the hirz issue is the issue of an-nabash, the qabr. There are some people, you know, who are expert in stealing the qabr. Yeah, we go to the maqbara to the black light, you go to cry there, there are some. Qasad qulubuhu. In a way, he is expert in stealing from the qubur, right? We call him Nabash. Okay, Nabash. So if the person goes to the grave, the Nabash qabr, and he took something that's inside, what do we do with that person? Do we cut off his hand? Or we don't? Most of the scholars said yes. And I don't know why some scholars said no, you know? Because that's his for that person, right? It's like going to his house, because qabr is the house of that person. The Prophet said, if you participate in digging a grave for a person, it's like you are giving him accommodation to stay in this life until the day of judgment. You'll be getting the reward of that. So this is his house. That's why you cannot put your leg on it, you know, you cannot walk on the qubur, you know. This is disrespect to the owners of the houses. They have their own life, different life. We don't know how it functions until the time we move to that place which we are going to move down the hall. Okay. There are some scholars who say, such as Abu Hanifa and Thawri, لا تخو يدو النباش and the qabr ليس بحيز. They said because qabr is not a حيز. It's not a place of protection for the okay. Some scholars waqafu mutawqifi, waqafu mutawqifi. Some scholars said no. We don't have a clear evidence that says an nabash yajibu qat'u yadihi. We don't have any evidence that says this and the evidence that says otherwise, so then we just remain in the wood. Because removing the hand of somebody is very sensitive. But as I said, Allahu A'lam, the best opinion is the opinion of the majority of the scholars. If somebody is caught by the government stealing from the graves, he has to lose his hand. And also one of the controversies, اختلفوا في السارق من بيت المال. Somebody who is taking care of the Minister of Finance and he took from that one. Do we cut off his hand?
Yeah.
Mufti of the man says yes. If we take his opinion, I don't know how many hands are going to go in the world. You know? SubhanAllah. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people الَّذِينَ يَخُوضُونَ فِي مَالِ اللَّهِ لَهُمُ النَّارِ. But nowadays is an open ticket to get an appointment to work in the Ministry of Finance. In some countries, you know, in the past, they tell you, fear Allah. Remember the day you will be brought to all of these people, they will be your khusama in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Monitor your activities. In our time, it's all the other, you know. Somebody told me the khutbah they gave one of them. He told me this is the only, when they gave him the ministry, right? This is the only opportunity we can give you right now. And don't forget, many people have been in this place and been there. Make the best use of it. Imagine, he already spent money to come to this position, right? He's also a businessman, he's going to make profit, and then they give him the khutbah that most likely you might not finish, we will take you out of it, so make the best use of it. SubhanAllah, they told me in one place, wallahi, in a week, you won't believe how many millions this person spent in 1 week. Where's the money? They are stolen by the way. How it Because we are living in a time where people are living in illusion. But this is our mentality. In our business nowadays, we live in the illusion. Any business that comes which is hush, everyone is rushing to that. And then when they get robbed by the inventors of that business, we talk in the newspapers. You know the tractors? You know those cars that go and fix the farm? They're very heavy. Eight of them, one of them said, there was a whole dream that said. So back to our topic, if somebody steals from the waiting man, can we cut off his hand? Or, you know, the reason why it is an issue? Because money in the waiting man belongs to the community, right? And he is a member in that community. So if you look at the fact that he is a member, so that means he has, for sure, he has a portion of that one. So if we cut off his hand, somebody will say, but he's stealing from the money that he also get portion from. That's why it becomes an issue. So you have Imam Shafi and Imam Abu Hanifa saying that we will not cut off his hand. But Imam Malik said, no, his money is not his. He's a caretaker. If he takes from it, or somebody else come and take from it, he has to lose it. In ideas, it's a controversial matter. This one, you leave it to the law of any country. But these are the matters that you cannot decide anyone. Get it? Unless if we get something from the Prophet, so much specifically addressing that, then you will deal with that. But if not, then it will be based on the law of the country. I don't think there is any country that ever tolerates this. There is no country that's away. And people do in every country, you might. There is no country which is away from corruption. But according to the law, yeah, if you're going to follow the laws, concerning the finance in every country, yeah, things are going to be nice. With the exception of the riba part. If you subtract that, people will enjoy it. Okay, so there is also another issue. Man saraqa min al-ghanima. You know Ghanima, right? The booty is the spoils of war. After the battle, nobody is allowed to take anything before it is distributed. Before the distribution of that wealth, you cannot take it. Taking something from it is called, what is the name? Ghulul. Okay? It's called ghulul. That's a theft against the wealth which is taken after the battle. Last one to make it permissible for the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It used to be haram for the nation that came before us, but in our time it is permissible, right? One of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I guess Yusha ibn Nun. He started from Yusha ibn Nun. It's the one that came right after Musa alayhi salam. So when they fought, before there was no jihad. When they fought, they had to gather everything they got from the enemies and put it in one place. If the fire comes and take it, this is a sign that Allah accepted one. If no fire comes, that means there is something wrong. So they did, you know. And that Yusha ibn Nun, he was the only one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stopped the sun, you know, for him. Yeah. You might hear some of them saying that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happened to him, but this is absolutely wrong. There's nothing to prove this. I heard somebody in his Shari, he was saying, he was talking about the virtue of the Prophet and his mu'jizat. He said, was Shamsu Ruddat? But this doesn't happen. It happens to Yusha ibn Nun alone. Okay? He talked to the sun to stop and to wait for him. Some scholars said he was begging the sun to wait because he did not pray Asr yet, and he was about to set. And see how serious is the prayer time, right? So, and it was about to set, so he told it, please don't do. You are commanded by Allah to move, and we also here because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us to come and fight. And if you said, we will get into trouble by missing the prayer, right? Inna salata kanat ala al-mu'min kitaban mawquta. So he stopped praying. But Sheikh Nasser said, no, it wasn't because of the Asr prayer. They all agree that the sun stopped, but why was it? Why did that happen? So he said, because he was a Jew. And you know, up to the time of Musa alayhi salam, that ban is still travel ban, right? Nowadays we are familiar with the travel ban, right? Because of the corona, you cannot go out. So Allah SWT banned them from going to Bayt al-Maqdis. They can't go to Bayt al-Maqdis for 40 years. You remember that case? I know you forgot everything. But they did something wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, Arba'ina sana. You know when he told them, go and fight those people? قالوا إن فيها قوة جبارين وإن لنا نقولها أبدا حتى وإن لنا نقولها ما لموا فيها فاذهب أنت وربك فقاتل أعوذ بالله. And these are the Muslims. And these are the Jews. Imagine the kafir among them, how do you think? So you can understand why what is happening nowadays is happening. Right? Nobody ever relaxed with those guys. SubhanAllah. Nobody ever relaxed. Go and read the history, you will confirm what I'm saying. Nobody relaxed. And after that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهَا مُحَرَّبَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. They will be in a state of tea. What is tea? Confusion. Not being able to recognize your place. And subhanAllah, look at the lutf of Allah and His mercy. They were in the tea. They cannot go back home. Wandering around here and there, but still Allah SWT bring the clouds next to them to cover them from the heat of the sun. And not only that, He's sending them a manu or salwa, fresh food for them to eat. That's not the way we don't want that. We want onions and food. Even Tom and Jerry went. Doesn't like who likes onion? Replacing something that is coming from the heavens with onion and kabul and tifah. So that's the reason why Musa, when the angel of death visited him, and the second time when he came back, you remember the first time, right? He smacked him. And the second time when he comes, the angel of death told him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you that it's a time for you to go. But since you don't want to go, because when he slapped him, the angel of death made his own statement. He told Allah, you have sent me to somebody who doesn't want to die. Musa did not say that, but he concluded from that smacking. How come I just say, I did that with Rabbuk, I got slapped on my face. What does that mean? He doesn't want to go. So the second time when he told him, Musa, he said, just go and bring your hand and put it on the a cow, whatever you cover with your hand, we give you with every hair a year. You know what cow is all about? So, you know the hair is small. If you put his hand, the hand of Musa, not like our hand, those people there, bigger than us, you know. You put it on a cow, you can imagine how many hair he is going to cover, right? So he's going to be living maybe hundreds of years. And subhanAllah, he asked the angel of death, he said, after all of these ages, what happens? He said, then, he said, I want it now. Now, that, if you know, you're going to say, that was when they were dead yesterday. Yeah, with all of these troubles that people are going through, it was at the point yesterday. He said, I want it now. And then he said, Ya Allah, if you take my life, please. Bring me closer to the Bayt al-Maqdis. Bring me closer to the Bayt al-Maqdis in a place which is not far from the right Bayt al-Maqdis, Ramiyatan bi al-Hajar. In a place where you can take a stone and throw, and that stone can reach Bayt al-Maqdis. The scholar said he asked for this because the ban is still there. He cannot go because he's a Jew. Allah SWT make it. He banned all of them. Whoever you are, you can't go to that place. Except for special permission. That permission is not given to him also because he's with them. So he said, Ya Allah, at this, I'm going to go through. So the wise will ask Allah to take him in the Bayt al-Maqdis. This is a sacred place, right? Get it at the Ard al-Muqaddas, right? So that's why he did not go to that. He did not ask for Allah to take him to that place. So Yusha ibn Nun, I wrote this to support the other opinion that says he cast him as a Jew. And you know, he was right after Musa alayhi salam. He was a student of Musa who went with him to Khidr, right? So right after Musa, he was the next prophet. Next messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was Yusha ibn Nun. So most likely the ban is still there. They cannot go. 40 years Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were not finished yet. So that's why, and he was fighting on Friday. You know, Islamically, if Maghrib comes, the next day has arrived. That's Saturday. The Jew cannot walk on Saturday. So they know if the sun set, he cannot continue to fight, and they were about to finalize the victory. That's why he begged the sun. You know? He told him, please, 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 just wait a bit. You know? We're almost done. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought it back and stopped it for him. It doesn't move anymore. That means the sun is moving, right? Yeah, that part of the sign that says it doesn't move, we should throw it in the garbage bin. So the sun moves, so it stops from moving, it doesn't move for him until the time you finish the battle, and then it moves. So they brought the ghanima and they put it in one place, and the fire refused to come. So, you know, in the hadith, the Prophet said they did the Quran, they bring everyone to come on the boat, and two hands were stuck on his hand. So they brought the tribe came, and the two brothers came. The hand got stuck on his hand, and then he said, "You are the one who took something, please go and put it back." Allah, now they want to succeed because punishment might come after that. It's not like the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah asked for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to punish his Ummah. You know? If they do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might sweep them all. You know, it's a serious matter. That's why they did not hesitate. They went quickly and they brought the thing. And it wasn't easy money, you know. Because it's a head of cow, gold, but in a form of a head of a cow. Imagine this really big, you know, money. They brought it, they put it in the place right after that. The fire came from wherever Allah wanted to send it and brought it. So it used to be like this in the previous nation, but in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah wants to make it permissible. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah sees our weaknesses. Yeah, like that. Get it? As for so many leniencies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. So many shackles and difficulties and hardship which used to be imposed on them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed in the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanAllah, wallahi, we appreciate it now. You know, when you see our people nowadays, you see that. Imagine we are still maintaining that one, you know? Even the 5 minute prayers some people are not doing. They said this is extremism for you to pray 5 times in a day. You know that? There are some who say this is extremism. They have to pray 5 times. So anyway, in Islam, ghanima, you cannot take from it before the distribution. But if somebody stole from it, are we supposed to cut off his hand? The one who stole from it is one of the combatants. Do we cut off his hand? So that is a consensus of the scholars to make life easy for us, that the hand of this person is not. And the scholar said, وَإِلَّمْ يَكُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا. Even if he is not among the combatants, we brought the ghanima back home, and then somebody went there in secret and took some part of it. So we don't care. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّمَا غَنِمْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ خُمُسَهُ وَلِلرَّسُولِ وَلِذِي الْقُرْبَى وَلِلْيَتَامَى. You take khumus. What is khumus? Fifth, right? You divide it by 5 and take 1. That 1 goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And subhanAllah, in the battle of something. Which battle is that they disturbed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because of the ghanima? Allah. Which battle is that? I think that was the first time you guys answered the question very quickly, right? In the Hunayn, right? After they finished, and they got a lot of things. They got a lot of. You might say maybe this is the battle that they never got something like this. Prophet one of the Arab came to him and he says, Tarahadi, you see this sheep from here up to that mountain. This sheep. He said, from here up to that is yours. He thought the Prophet was making mockery of him. He said, no, it's yours. He said, mine, this one. He said, yeah. I take it. Say, yeah, thank you. He took it all. Somebody says maybe he was looking behind to see if maybe Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will chase him. to give up. But he went back to his people. He said, Ya Kaw. He shouted. The moment he meets his people, he said, Ya Kaw, Aslimu. He said, accept Islam. He said, why? He said, Jitukum min indi rajulin yu'ti a'ta'a man la yakhsha al-faqr. He said, I am coming from a man who gives a gift of somebody who is not afraid of poverty. He makes a lot of gifts in that way. He told Abbas, to Abu Sufyan, they take some of them, cannot even pack it. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, these are golden in there. And they're jewelry, you know. And because that Ahmad, the leader of Taif in those days, they told him, you know, Dreid ibn Summa told him, where are you going? He said, I'm going to fight. He said, with all of our families? Because of your kids shouting and the babies also crying. What was his tactic? He said, because if we go there, a person will remember that his wife is here, his daughter is here, he will never run away. That old man has been going through battles. He says, brother, when it comes to the battlefield, if a soldier got scared, there is nothing can stop him. You bring his mother or whatever you bring, he will run away. Please take them back. At least if we got killed, the generation can continue. He said, no, this is new style, you know, in fighting. That's the reason why he took all the wealth of life, you know, took everything and go with it. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. The Prophet ﷺ got everything, all of them, when the people five were defeated, all of them, all of those sisters and the brothers and the kids, everyone is captured. SubhanAllah. And the Prophet ﷺ gave them around 20 days to come for reconciliation. They don't want to come. After the Prophet ﷺ lost hope, he distributed everything. Then they came for reconciliation. And SubhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ is very merciful. He said, no problem. I agree. And I will return back to you anything that is with me, you know, of human beings, except wealth. The wealth, I already give it to the people. And I will not even ask them to do because it would be too much for them. They will not. But the family, this one, I can guarantee to fight for this. All of your family have to go back to you. And from my side, if I have anyone, I'm the first person to return back everything. He talked to all the companions, all of them agree, except I guess Uyayn ibn Hisn al-Fazari. That's a long story, but he said no. Prophet Sallallahu said, please keep them back. He said, you have to pay for that. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi said, how much you want? He told me, every person I need this amount of cattle. He said, no problem, what will be? So that's how the people of Taif went back. So in the Battle of Taif, they kept on talking to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, al-ghanima, 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 you know. Until the time they dragged the garment of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, fell down. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ruddu alayya rida. Yeah, now he talked to them also in the way they deserve, you know. He said, Ruddu alayya rida. He said, at least I wasn't a coward. You know, they ran away, all of them, right? Who remained in the battlefield? Only him and Abbas and some maybe few ones, you know, all of them ran away. He said, at least I'm not coward. All of you ran away. And now you are following me, chasing me, you know, to give you the ghanima. He said, I will not take anything from it. He says, Ma li shay'in min hadhihi al-ghanima illa al-khums wa al-khums raddu alayhi. That's the reason why I wrote the story. He said, I have nothing in this ghanima except the khums. Khums is one. Over five, right, one fifth. He said, and even that khums is raddun alaykum. It's going to be taken back to you because I take the khums to share with those people who did not participate with us amongst them, the poor and the needy. SubhanAllah. So that's the reason why they said, since there is a portion called khums and it will be distributed to the members of the community who did not have chance to participate in the battle, if somebody steals from the ghanima, we assume that he might be part of the ahlu. We don't cover this hand. We punish him some other punishment, but not removing the body. Is that clear, inshallah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, salam to Allah. قال وعن جابر قال جيء بسارك الى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال اقتلوه فقالوا إنه سرق يا رسول الله فقال اقطعوه فقطئ ثم جاء الثانية فقال اقتلوه فذكر مثله ثم جاء به الثالثة فذكر مثله ثم جاء به الرابعة كذلك ثم جاء به الخامسة فقال اقتلوا. Jabir ibn Abdullah said, there was a time they brought a thief to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this man, he stole something. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kill him. The hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when somebody steals this, is what? You cut off the hand, right? But here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said what? He said, kill him. When he said, kill him, they said, Ya Rasulullah, innahu sarq. They say, Ya Rasulullah, he stole something. He did not kill anyone. قَالَ اَقْطَعُوا. He said, okay, this is the case, then cut off the hand. Okay? That's when he couldn't get the point for it. And then they cut off his hand. And then he stole again. They brought him to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, cut him. Cut the hand off. They did. And then he stole again. Four times, this person. So most likely he lost all of the atraf. Now he doesn't have anything, no benefit in life, right? That's why the fifth one, the Prophet said, "Uqtilu, kill him." So there is a long controversy among the scholars concerning this. This is the ta'zir, the matter. One of the evidence is actually used by the scholars to confirm that ta'zir can reach to death, right? Because the Prophet said, kill him. But whether it happened to it, it happened, and also some scholars do not agree with the hadith, but generally these hadiths, it's authentic, it's Hassan. Yeah, but we will go through some of these controversies to learn some lessons, inshallah, in the next class. Inshallah. Yeah. There's the last, I guess, hadith, and then we will go to the hadith al khamr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. The question I wanted to ask regarding the question of qisas, where someone killed a person and his family relatives are deciding whether to forgive him or not, is precedence given regarding, let's say, the parents don't forgive him, but the siblings, his brothers, his sisters, they say
any member, any matured member. That's why if a person killed somebody, and amongst the owners of the right, the guardians of that person are kids, we delay the punishment until they, because they might. That's why I see some people, they stay in jail long. We delay the punishment. We can keep him if we know he will not run. If we can have a guarantor to bring him back, you know, that person will be responsible. We can let him go. Otherwise, he has to be detained until they. That's why the only way out is don't kill anyone. Yeah, it's very strong pressure, you know, to know that you're going to live this life and the crime is that you kill somebody intentionally. And that's actually what is waiting for that person is worse. So according to the opinion of the vast majority of the scholars, if a person killed another person intentionally, he is not a kafir, and he will not remain in hell forever, but there are how many rights on his soul?
Three rights.
Right of Allah, right of the family, and right of the person whom he killed. Right of Allah, if he repents, and he got the qisas, the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is gone, right? And he just does the kafara. The kafara to free his name or to fast for 60 days, 2 months. And the right of the family, if they forgive, or they ask for the qisas, and the qisas happened, you know, or they ask for the diya. They say, we don't want him to be killed, but we want the diya to be paid, and those ones are settled, then the right of the family is gone. Now the one that remains is the right of that person. That's a mahkama ilahiyya. And the day of judgment is that the real case is going to be reopened. one of the debates that I found interesting. It says either jar al amir wa hajiba wa qadi al ard asrafa fi al qadiyya. It says fawail thumma wail li qadi al ard min qadi al sama. And you have the authority not being fair and just, you know, to the one who is offended. And this is the case nowadays. You pay money, the case will not be decided. It'd be exactly like that joke that they're making, that the case reached the court, a rich person hits a poor person who has nothing other than the bicycle. And he hit him in the, with the bicycle, right? And when they go to the court, because the bicycle guy, the poor person can take it to the court. When the judge comes, he announces the case, he says, where is the bicycle guy who hits the car of the person? So now the bicycle, the poor person, now he has to come and defend himself. That man is free because you said, where is the one that hit that person with his bicycle? This is what we did. You have more money, the case will be yours. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides the truth. But these cases, they are decided here, but the real case is the one there. That's why to be a judge is one of the real tests that can happen to human being in this life. But nowadays they fought for it, right? They're willing to do everything to become a judge. It's one of the worst. You know, the real test that a person can have in this life to be a judge. من ولي القضاء فقد ذبح بغير سكين, the Prophet said. If you are appointed to be a judge, it's like slaughtering you without using a knife. Right? Ibn Abi Sa'id al-Qayrawani, when the king asked him to become a qadi, he ran away. They got him. He realized that he cannot run away. They are going to appoint him. What did he do? You know, Ibn Abi Sa'id al-Qayrawani, right? That's a great scholar. They call him Malik al-Saghir. He's very knowledgeable in the way they even call him Imam Malik. So he went to his house. I don't know about you, when we are young, we used to bring a stick and ride the stick pretending that this is our donkey, not donkey, horse. You will do that for your city people, you don't have this. City people, right? Yeah. When we were young, we used to have a stick since we just see horses being used by the umara, you know? So we will have our own horse, the stick, long stick, you ride on it and then we go. So who is the horse then? The stick or the rider, you know? Anyway. So what did he do? Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani went back to his house and he came with nothing except a short, you know, pants covering his knees, you know, and the not even qamis, you know, and he came with that horse and he kept on going around the city so that the king will say he is Majnun, right? SubhanAllah, those kings also, he's looking for somebody who is honest, you know. He said, oh, now I understand that you're so smart, you know. Actually, I was having doubt, but now you have to go for it, you know. Anyway, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good and tawfiq.
Shaykh, you spoke about the people who stay in the Baitul Mal. Do the same really apply to those? I mean, it is what we have taxes, right? Public money, public taxes.
All of it.
Is the same for that?
All of it.
Also, can the government, the people who steal the public money, can the government come up with their own policy like execution? For example, in countries like Sri Lanka, one of the major reasons why they are struggling is because of money being stolen from public officials. So can the government decide to execute them for the government?
This is what I have been saying. Yeah. It's absolutely up to the government to apply the appropriate punishment. Yeah. They want this person to become a lesson and they believe that this is the only way the community can relax. They can go for that. The best opinion is the one that says ta'zir can reach to death. Yeah. Just have to make sure that they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this is the only way they can stop this. And they go for it, no problem. This corruption in Abdurrahman, subhanAllah, it is affecting almost everything. It is affecting almost everything. Once this corruption exists, justice cannot go. That's why in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, one of his policies, he says, you have to take a judge, and he said, give him a lot of money in the way he will not need to ask for the rishwa. And you can understand in some countries, you know, in some countries, why the police are taking the rishwa. Look at the salary given to them. And every day the criminals are in his hand, you know, you can cooperate with them. And he tells him not to cooperate. No, he will not do it. It doesn't make sense, you know. It makes sense between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to do that, you know, cooperate with the criminals, but between him and the community is not giving him what he needs, and he has to suffer day and night going chasing this criminal and this very dangerous life. I was watching the commentary, those people who are chasing the drug dealers. One of them, one of those securities, he went to the house, and subhanAllah, one of them is hiding. They got him with a heavy knife and sword. They're almost going to cut off his neck, you know. SubhanAllah, you see the chin, deeply all the flesh of some part of his is taken by him. He recovered, but that part is very small, you know, because they remove all the flesh. It's a dangerous job, and then at the end of the day, you give him a salary which is so little, he has to go and look for some other ways to survive. Doesn't make sense. Judges and the security, you know, these ones, they have to be paid a lot. In the way, if they bribe and then the government punish them, it will be justified. You know, this is the policy of Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar used to say that take a judge and pay him a lot of money in the way he doesn't need to look for any bribe. Take care of him so much in the way he doesn't think of anything. You cannot deceive him, you know. Why in the past you see the Khalifa also will leave the court and he will lose the case and the judge doesn't care. Why? Because they have what supports them in their life. They don't need them, you know. They will tell them either this or I will resign. And that's how it is. Either this or I will resign. They say one of them used to put his chair in every meeting. He said he put it next to the door. I'm not mentioning who he is, but they said he always put it in the meeting next to the door. Why always said that? He said, in case something doesn't make me happy, I resign and very easy to go out. So that's how it is. You know, these two departments, they should be paid. Security, army, police, and immigration, all of these ones, you know, they should be paid a lot in the way they will not bribe, you know. You don't need to monitor. You have good tarbiyah for them, good education for them. Allah, you don't need to monitor that much. They won't do. They know that if the country has interest and the country is doing justice to them. And the same goes to the judges. Yeah. These ones, because as long as human beings exist, judges have to exist. You might get rid of the police if you have a strong peace in the country. You might say, you know, there is a country, there is no army even in that country, right? Some countries I heard, they don't have soldiers. Check and see that. I heard that there is a country which doesn't have. Anyway, so if the peace is everywhere, you know, nobody's oppressing another person, everyone is, you don't need them. You can have them stand by, but you don't need. But is there any possibility for you to have a country that doesn't need a judge? As long as human beings exist, those ones are. So these are two departments, as I said, security, and security in all of their forms, police, immigration, and customs, and soldiers, you know, army. And the judges in the country. No matter how much low he is, we look into the situation, give him what he needs to survive. And what is sufficiently enough for him in the way, inshallah, his eyes will be focused on this. So that's how it is. And this is the policy of Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, take a judge, pay him a lot of money in the way he will never look for a bride. Allah grant us ability to see this moment. It's very interesting to see a judge who is very decent, focus on his job. And that can only happen if he is okay. Otherwise, you can expect it.
Yeah, we should. question for Sister Shahan, what more of a punishment did we mention for armed robbery if not cutting of the hands?
Inshallah, Sister Shafa, I guess we're going to talk about this Hiraba in the future. I don't know when, but it should be part of our discussion. Yeah, the right after the Shubul Khamr is going to be Hadbu, Al-Ta'zir, and also Al-Sa'id. Sa'id, no Sa'id, right? Sa'id is somebody who is coming to attack you. Sa'id, therefore Sa'id, somebody. Animals can come to attack you. Human beings can attack you. How do you defend yourself? Inshallah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنْ يُقَتَّلُوا أَوْ يُصَلَّبُوا أَوْ تُقَطَّعَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ أَوْ يُنْفَوْمِنْ. Allah gave us how many punishment? أَنْ يُقَتَّلُوا أَوْ يُصَلَّبُوا crucified أَوْ تُقَطَّعَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَرْجُلُهُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ أَوْ يُنْفَوْمِنْ الْأَرْضِ. Yeah, that's, I like that opinion actually. يُنْفَوْمِنْ الْأَرْضِ. I like to go with the Zahiris also. Most of the scholars said we sent him to jail. But I like the Zahiri opinion because they said he has to be chased from the earth. I think maybe now this new system that they're going to go to the Mars, I think we should support them. Your bomb in love, then we take him to the Mars, right? But how did they say your bomb in love? They said, he has to be taken away from the earth. So since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يجب أن ننفيه من الأرض لا يمكن أن يكون له قرار. Okay? So if we have somebody who is committing this crime in Malaysia, we send him to Indonesia. And then we inform the Indonesian government that Karim is there. He's a criminal. When he reached Indonesia, they send him to Australia. Australian government also should be informed. They send him to Singapore. And there we go. Like that. Wherever he goes, he has to be taken out of that head. Yeah, we can even that. But most of the scholars said this is referring to sending him to another place. Or you send him to jail. Some scholars said it is up to the discretion of the imam to choose which one among these four punishments is appropriate. Some of them said, no, we look into the nature of the crime. Get it? If he kill, we kill them. If he doesn't kill, because sometimes they don't kill, they steal the thing and they scare others, you know. We cut off his hand and the leg, you know, min khilaf, right hand and left leg. And sometimes they just put the fear and run away. Okay? You might chase him, but if they fear and they put the fear and they kill also, we crucify him and we kill him. So basically, are some scholars going into this dimension, but others said it is actually meant to be left with the king and the ruler. He decides which one is more appropriate, and then he takes action accordingly. So most likely, Nabil Sanani will be talking about this issue. Inshallah, in case he did not, this is how the ruling. It's supposed to be.
Salaam alaikum. What is the punishment for someone who has beaten someone so badly that that person didn't die but had mental damage?
He has to compensate. If he causes him to lose his apple, then he has to pay the dear penalty. Every part of the body that person lost, he has to pay the deer of that place. Yeah. If the two eyes are gone, he must pay the deer of the whole thing. We talk about this. Complete deer. That's 100 camels. He caused him to lose his apple. He has to pay that. He will pay the deer a complete. He caused him to lose his hearing. You get it? Ability completely is gone, he has to pay the deer completely. So when he said he causes him to lose his apple, he has to pay for that. And also we look into the deer for that. We look into the injuries on his body. Every single injury is mentioned by the scholars. Either you pay a certain amount of camels or we go for the hakuma. That's mean that the court will measure to see the amount of damages based on what the Sharia have mentioned, and they charge you for. If you kill him, that's why these type of things we have to wait first until the life of this person became stable. Although he is not okay mentally, but we know for now he can live, but in this way. Yeah, the reason why we have to wait is because the jarima might continue, right? It might reach death. So we already take the deer, and now it is death. What to do? Yeah, somebody was told by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be patient. He said, no, Ya Rasulullah, I want my right now. He said, be patient. He said, I want my right now. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him his right. And the injury kept him going. And now he came back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, this is what happened to me. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you don't have right over him. Because we told you, be patient. You said, you want to be patient. And he settled the case with you. Now it's your problem. You know? So the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a good and complete, you know, justice when it comes to the community. All of these crimes, you will never see them. Allah grant us tawfiq. Qisas, if he intentionally killed him. Yeah, that's, he paid the deer for causing him to lose his heart. I wouldn't do that because he doesn't kill him. If you kill him, let the man do that. So the qisas is to ask him to pay the deer for the aql that he caused him to lose. Human beings without aql, useless.
You're saying he killed him.
But no, let's say he crippled it, but he can't walk anymore. Wouldn't we, can't we
apply the qisas in that?
If the guy can't walk anymore, let's say he broke
his legs. He pays the deal for that. Qisas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِيهَا أَنَّ النَّفْسَ بِالنَّفْسِ وَالْعَيْنَ بِالْعَيْنِ وَالْأَنْفَ بِالْأَنْفِ وَالْأُذْنَ بِالْأُذْنِ وَالسِّنِّ بِالسِّنِّ وَالْجُرُوحَ. Now all of these things are, if somebody did it, intentionally. Even accidentally also it carries, but here we address the intentional act first. That's how is it possible that somebody broke the leg of another person or caused him to lose his apple? Usually it's intentional. When he does it unintentional, also the deer is still there, you know, but as long as he doesn't kill, we kill because Allah says an-nafsu bin-nafs. He did not kill him. Although he caused him to be disabled, but he did not kill. So he has to be the deer for this. We took out his eyes also. Then that's the reason why I said we just look into that person. Why did he cause him to lose? He lost his eyes, deer for that. He lost his aql, deer for that. He lost his leg, deer for that. He lost his aim. So he has, he's going to pay, most likely he will choose death. But we will not kill him. Even if he choose death, we will not kill him. He has to pay. There will be death on his shoulder, he must pay. We kill only when he killed that person. If it is not unintentional, we will not kill. Then deer has to be paid, this the blood money. But if he killed them intentionally, in this case, we go for the forgiveness if the man forgive. If he doesn't forgive, then we will not kill them. I said intentional, right? If he doesn't forgive, then we kill. He might forgive to a deer. He might say, I don't want it to be killed, but he can pay me the deer. You think so? Which part is confusing?
I'm confused about.
You just want that guy since he disabled that person. We just send him.
No, we disabled him.
No, we will. We will. Yeah, that's what Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says. I'm going to the deer. If this is unintentional, but if it is intentional, he removed his eyesight. His eyes, we remove his eyes. Well, I know that. He removed his ears. We remove his ears. You know. But we have to be very careful because sometimes, right, while we're taking revenge, we might go beyond the limit. That's why he said, "On the rock, his house." There are things which are very dangerous. He broke his bone in the way it touched the brain, or it did not touch the brain, but it removed the bone on the head. If we are going to do that thing, we need really experts, you know, to measure the place. You know? Otherwise, you're going to touch his brain, and that's going beyond the limits. So that's why in cases where we know we might kill that person, if we have to take action in the same way, we go for the
authorities interfere, they said,
The authority cannot. That person does, he has to decide. But the authority can charge him another for disturbing the community because of this one is aside. But that the right of that person has to be preserved. But then the community, the authority can say, you disturb the community. Now the community is not feeling safe. Because people think that people like you don't exist, but now seeing you is very dangerous. So we're going to also impose you another kind of punishment. And they should make it in public. That will make the king, that will make the community relax. We have qadha. Because if the community know that the qadha is just, everyone is going to relax. You will not mind that much. Whoever oppressed you will not mind. Because you go to the court and the door is open for you. Get inside and report, have your witnesses, that criminal will never escape. And in the past, as we do, lawyers cannot play games. The judges also are very smart. They are acting as lawyers also, they fight on behalf of the weak one. They will not play that game. Remind them of what Allah SWT. Some of them, this doesn't work. You remind them of what Allah, you bring everything, you will never regret. But the judges are also very smart. They listen to the case and they decide and they defend as much as they can. They try to see how to bring the lawyers into their consciousness. May Allah grant us good.
Sister Shafa wants to confirm. You mentioned that the ruler can choose one of the four punishments for the as a tazir. So what if these armed robbers, they came and they just instilled fear, but they did not kill anybody or they didn't do anything else. Can the ruler still kill them?
Yeah, if he thinks that this is the best way to get rid of this type of crime and put them into that situation, yes, he does have a right. The best is to avoid it as long as they don't kill. But if there is no any other way to bring peace to the community except by removing these evil ones, and the rulers go for this, that'll be a huge challenge.
Her second question is, you mentioned about the case of zina and how if it is forgiven by the victim and known by the mass, we still go with the punishment. The government gets
forgiveness as long as the community or the authority they have the case, it must be executed. So the forgiveness of the victim will never work.
So in this regard, is it only applicable to rape? Because she's referring to a case where a male teacher who would abuse female students for many years, and then one of the sisters finally decided to speak up, and the crime was made known to the mass. But the results were that the girl's family and the teacher came to an agreement and decided to take the case down. In such cases, should the authority punish?
They have to. Yeah. In this case, they have to punish. This actually is not a case of that family and the person, the teacher himself. This is the community case. The authority must take over. Actually, that one is between them. But this case is the country's case. The entire country. The issue between them is between them. You get it? The public prosecutor of the country, Mudair Al Sah. But then this one has to go on behalf of the government to stand by in the court to make sure that the punishment must be addressed. That's why in these type of cases, the government should have another department, actually. The way we don't even need to go to the mahkamah. We just need evidence to be established, and then we have our own legislature to decide what kind of punishment is appropriate, and then he must receive. Because now they're forgiven. I don't know why they're forgiven. But there are some crimes which shouldn't be forgiven, actually. Like this, a teacher is caught, lecturer is caught, Why would you forgive this? Because you are putting the community into trouble. There is no forgiveness. You tell them, please accept my apology. This doesn't affect me alone. It doesn't affect my son or my daughter alone. It affects everyone in the country. And as such, I cannot jeopardize the right of the country and the peace in the country. This place should be the most peaceful place where place of education, and then you guys are bringing this, please do accept my apology. I will go to the peak of the right. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives between you and him. This is the most important. And between us, inshallah, in the hereafter, we will never hold you responsible. In this dunya, we want to see the lesson being given to everyone in the community to stop other people from thinking in this way.
Question by Maisha. If one family member forgives the killer after the case which is in wrongdoing, will punishment take place?
No, I think we just mentioned that, right? It depends on the case first. It depends. If it is qisas, if one family forgives, even after it reaches the authority, we will not take that. But if it is other matters, like zina, like theft, even if somebody forgives, the punishment has to be executed.
Sheikh, you mentioned something regarding the type of reward that's continued until the day of judgment in regards to sheltering someone.
Okay, I remember that. I was saying if you help somebody to have his grave being dug, you go to the graveyard and you participate in digging the grave, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it's like giving him house in this life, you know, and you let him stay in this house until the day of judgment. So your reward will be continuous until the day of judgment. That's why when you go to the graveyard and people are digging the grave, don't just stay and hold hands and wait for Quran Allah. Participate in that also. Dig at least a bit of it. You'll be getting this reward, inshallah, until the day.
Question by Sister Maisha. Did Yusha bin Nun ask the sun itself to stop, or did he ask Allah to make the sun stop?
He spoke to the sun. Yeah, he was speaking to the sun. Directly. And Allah's matter stopped. Because these things are jamadat, right? Non-living things to who? Us. But to Allah? No. All living. They have their own way of life. Allah says, قَالَ تَأَتَيْنَا إِتِيَا طَوَعًا وَكَرْحًا. He talked to the heavens and the earth. إِتِيَا طَوَعًا وَكَرْحًا قَالَ تَأَتَيْنَا طَعِينَ. This is really talking to Allah. Ya jibal awwibi ma'hu wa tayr. Allah spoke to the mountains to recite with Dawood alayhi salam and also the birds. So they are not non-living things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but to us, they are like that. So he spoke to the sun and Allah commanded the sun to stop. Right? Like Allah ibn al-Hadrami who spoke to the sea. He says, we have to move and we don't have ships. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent us, you know, subhanAllah. And the sea stopped. How did it stop? It became jammed. They walked on it. Until they finished their mission. Ibn Kathir says none of them was in need of taking off his shoes. Those people who are riding, they ride the horses. Those people who are walking, they walk. It's just like storytelling, but these are facts from the history. How many questions left?
One last question. Why were the Jews banned for 40 years from the Al-Aqsa?
How do I ask this question? It's Jew. If you know a Jew, if they're not banned, maybe you will ask, well, when they banned them. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala read that story. They asked for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help them to fight. They requested, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, go and fight. That ended. And then when they went, they said, inna fiha qauman jabbarin. Have those people there, so we never thought they're like that. So we will not do. Hatta yakhruju minha, unless if they go out of this. So you're going to fight them. You said we want to fight. Okay, go fight. They said, no, those guys are so huge. We never thought they're like that. Okay, go fight. Allah will help you this evil. Until the time they go out. And then at the end of the day, they told them, who's that? Listen, these people, as long as they're in the city, we will never go. Fadhhab anta wa rabbuka faqatila. You go, you and your Lord. What happened to them? Isn't he their Lord also? They said, you go, you and your Lord, faqatila, and fight. Inna hahuna qa'idu. We are here waiting for you to come back. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we punished them in that way. We told them, since you don't want to go and fight those people who are in that place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them, you cannot go to that place for 40 years. Arba'ina sanatan yatiqa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it haram upon them. The one who took over the country, Allah said, go and fight. You look for it, we make it mandatory upon you. They say we don't want it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala banned them from going into the city for 40 years. So as I said, until the time of Musa alayhi salam, their years are not finished. That ban is not finished. Okay, thank you very much. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. إنه بكل جميل كثير سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته